Welcome to the Penny Arcade Staff Podcast, and today we have with us...
Higo.
Gavin.
Babe.
Brian.
And we're going to talk about their recent trip to Japan.
Tokyo!
Woo.
Nippon.
I'm jealous.
Did you say Nippon?
You should be. It was awesome.
I'm sure it was.
It was fine.
You suck.
So, my experience...
Why'd we go there?
Was less than everyone else's because I was only there briefly. I was there for the business part of it.
Which was pretty grueling.
That's business smart. In the front.
Right, and then in the back, yeah.
You left party. before the party.
The back 8
so
days.
So the first three or four days basically were, this was the design trip. We went there to scout fashion.
Be inspired. Basically.
Yeah.
Look at stuff.
Just Tokyo was... kind of the inspiration for a lot of early first party, just the concept of first party, which was, largely was based on Robert's tastes and then expanded out from there. But Tokyo more than, or Japan more than America has like a shopping culture that guys share in. I think that's part of why we went. There's a much broader breadth of male fashion there.
There is, most certainly. I think a lot of it is just due to the less fragility of masculinity and perception there. I mean, every male we pass was carrying a bag or any sort of man bag that would be potentially made fun of in the United States, whereas here that and over there, they're just standard. Everyone
it's has just a convenient bag to hold your things in.
Yeah.
Shock. Men have things to hold.
What I thought was really cool the first time I went to Tokyo was how you could sort of like walk down a street and go from little shop to little shop and see basically iterations of the same garment.
Yeah.
It almost feels like you can watch a garment evolve from one store to the next. Like it'll be a button down shirt and that's sort of just like a white button down shirt. And in one store, it'll just have like a different logo on it. In a cool, like,
not so much evolve as tailored to individual taste.
There's like micro brands almost, and then the next one, like, they'll change, they'll put like embroidery on the sleeve or like add like a patch to the sleeve,
sleeve length modification,
and then they'll do a cuff modification or the hem will be modified. Just like these little cool little tweaks on something that people are already wearing that made it feel unique and sort of let you identify with that brand. And that's sort of one of the things we wanted to try to do with first party was take stuff that we saw people in the industry and stuff that we like to wear or we saw a lot of people seem to like to wear and do something to tweak it and make it feel just somehow slightly more innovative or useful to gamers and or people who work in the gaming industry. And then hopefully that sort of thing is... just the ideal situation is that little tweak is just appeals to other people too, and we can broaden the appeal to first party too. People who like common sense, useful and attractive apparel.
Sure. That makes sense. I think that would be the main reason why we went. Yeah.
And how did it, I mean, first of all, like, what was your expectation? Because this was, Kiko, this was your second time?
My third time. Yeah.
My second.
Your second.
My first.
Dave's first. Tokyo, by the way, not built for a man of Dave's size.
Not made for me, but it wasn't that bad. It's just I learned to duck a lot more and get off the train a certain way.
I think we should put a super cut of like Dave being tall in Tokyo photos on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I posted Instagram. You can copy mine. You can regram it.
RG. TB.
Yep.
TBT.
Mm-hmm.
Throwback Tokyo.
It's not made for me, but I really enjoyed it there. But oddly enough, I feel completely all right with being back home, and I don't miss it. It's very much like it was experience that I had for a week and a half, and I don't think I could handle living there. But that's good to know and good to have learned.
Would living there is one thing. Would you want to go back?
I'd go back in 6 months minimum. Like I would want some time.
Was it just like
I want to see a different season there, right?
Was it like, just like how
It's hot.
It was busy. Too, it was, or just like the, because this, like everything, you had to constantly crouch and you had to remain vigilant of your forehead.
That wasn't so
or
bad.
Or the weather.
The weather was warm, and it's only going to be getting worse right now, right? Yeah. And I think I'd like to see winter there just to see how things change.
You are a heavily tattooed man.
Yeah, so I had to sleeve up
for the certain portion of the trip.
And that could have been better.
My previous two trips were in early October.
Yeah.
So it was just getting cold.
Yeah.
So that sounds nice.
That was much more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was expecting it to be like, you know, oppressively hot, and I don't think it was.
I don't think it was oppressively hot.
Yeah.
But there were certain levels of chafing that I experienced on this trip that I didn't think I'd experience.
I mean, that first day we did walk 13 miles. 16.
Yeah.
16 miles.
Yeah.
16.
Robert.
He tried to kill us?
Robert, and on some level, I had a little bit of input into that, but like it was mostly Robert, let's face it, put together quite the grueling first couple days.
It was a gauntlet.
It was a death march.
Like, he gave us a map for each day, and that map was just like just a dense forest of pin drops, like all over.
And to
over.
Be clear, he was cutting locations as we went.
Yeah,
The 16 miles were an abbreviated day.
We sort of stuck to the first map on the first day. Yeah. And then after that, it got really lot more relaxed.
Like a 16-mile day
the
one.
Blisters on my feet just
10
healed.
10 to 12 day
like
2
days ago. Yeah. This isn't an exaggeration. This isn't for the bit. It literally just healed.
Yeah, I mean, like, we landed in the evening. We had an adjustment night where we basically just slept and then got used to the time zone. And then immediately, it was like...
You say adjustment night like we had a day off. No, we got in at 10 and we went to bed.
And we slept and then we woke up early and we hit the ground running. And it was like 16 miles walking all over the city.
It was like 8 to midnight the next day.
Yeah.
Nonstop. We ate a lot of meals on our feet too. It was like, you know, 7-Eleven is amazing.
7-Eleven is incredible.
You don't sit down and go to restaurants there in the same way.
Well,
that
you don't.
Here.
You do if you have like another person with you. It's not a big group. If you have like more than three people, it's tough to get a table.
Or you get a little solo ramen booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mostly. Legit. It's mostly. You know.
It's mostly. Well,
you mean a ramen confessional?
Food is very utilitarian there.
Yeah.
Ramen confessional.
Yeah.
You didn't go to this place that David. Yeah.
Which hardly fit me, by the way.
My knees were
against the table, and I was forced off the seat. I was essentially sitting on.
Oh, that's right, because my seat was mobile, and we blew it.
Yeah. Forgive
There's
me,
no
ramen.
More ass
for I have sinned.
Yeah.
Ramen.
And together we say.
The vending machine.
Lifestyle.
Little diner place.
The ramen one.
You put in your money, press a button, you get a little ticket with your order. You go sit down at the counter,
and
give them your ticket. They give you your food. You eat, you're out.
And you don't give them any money.
Nope.
Because you already paid.
Yep.
And that's really great because they don't have a tipping culture. So it's like your transaction is done.
Everything's very ideal.
Before
there.
You even sit down.
Ideal.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the prices of food there because I was very surprised.
Free.
It's everything was free. You know that ramen spot that we were just talking about, Gavin recommended the rice bowl, which ended up being $3.50 before the US conversion.
Yeah.
So it was like cheaper than that. It was essentially
like
$3.
$2.50.
And it was awesome.
Like beef bowl, rice, egg,
some
greens in there and like pretty decent size.
Yeah, no, I was surprised at the size. I got the same thing and I was
No, that's my go-to. Oh, I learned why I don't like ramen. I don't like that place ramen. I like tonkatsu ramen.
Oh no, yeah,
that broth,
the thicker broth.
I don't want to eat chicken soup.
I prefer that too.
Well, I didn't know that existed. Mm-hmm. Well, none of the places we went to had that.
Let me tell you, Gavin, that I had truffle tonkatsu when I was in Hong Kong at this place, and it was religious. So, stick with it. It gets better.
New Tonkatsu place in Ballard. We're going to check that out.
Dave and I met up with his friend Christian at some point on the trip. And he took us to a ramen place that we don't know what it was called. But it was like down some little alley. We walked from Harajuku to Shibuya, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down some little alley in Shibuya. And same kind of deal where you order at a machine. But then there was a whole sheet that you filled out where you specified like how much garlic you wanted and how spicy you wanted the broth and the firmness of the noodles and things like that.
That's nice.
This was an artisanal experience. And then there was two cordoned off areas that we didn't know what was behind these cloth curtains. And Christian was taken away from us.
Yeah.
And sent down one of these halls.
And he didn't even warn us.
Yeah. Apparently, there's one side is places that you sit alone, and the other side is places that you sit alone, potentially with a friend. And so we luckily got sent down the other little like ramen alley, where you sit down in your little ramen confessional booth, and there's literally like little wooden walls, like little partitions up. And then in front of you is a wall and like a little tiny opening with a curtain. So like literally like you can see like the hand level of the person that is serving you, and they just walk over, take your ticket, and like slide food in. And I figured out by like just like casually leaning back and looking around me that the people next to me had like folded their partition. So I was able to like close ours and like look at Dave while we ate. And we'd be sitting there like, when do you think we eat this part?
Yeah. I don't know.
And I'd be like, I'm gonna lean back.
Yeah.
The woman next to me, here's what she's doing.
Yeah. And the whole, like, there's a more noodles button.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That we didn't try out.
We did not. We were scared.
It just goes.
We wouldn't have gone there.
Ceiling.
We wouldn't have gone there because I think it had not nearly enough English to explain what you had to do in the correct order. But Christian was there, and he knows enough Japanese to, like, get us there and confidently do it. So.
Pro tip, get yourself a Pasmo card.
Pasmo/Suica is the way
any
to live.
Kind of.
The previous
card.
Two visits that I had, we were doing, you know, the one-way trip, buying tickets for every train ride.
Oh, God.
And
horrible.
That is a huge waste of time and effort.
That's so scary.
Just get a little debit card that you just...
It's like an
RFID.
You
pay for a lot
it's
with
an
it.
RFID.
Yeah, and it'll work at the...
It'll work at convenience
at the
stores,
7-Elevens, Family Marts.
Yeah, at the little food airport. Floors at the train stations.
Load it up with all of the money you have or ever will have, and then... Proceed.
It's super convenient to just, you know, get on the train whenever you want and not have to deal with all that BS.
Yeah.
It still costs money, but
Dave
it's
I got
way
to,
more convenient.
Dave and I got to look at the whole Adidas skate team.
Yeah, we did.
Look right at them. Daewon Song was there, y'all. It was rad.
Hey, yo, for the one person that recognizes that name.
Daewon?
Right?
We walked right in and passed
Somebody's
them,
played Tony Hawk.
And we were downstairs in that... In that store, and then
and I started,
I started seeing Dave and Gavin like whispering to each other excitedly,
freaking out.
Adidas store in Harajuku.
Yeah, Adidas.
Yeah, it was the Adidas Originals flagship.
And I was like,
Harajuku.
Right? They do have Pharrell Williams stuff, and they were like, no, that's the entire Adidas skate team. I was like, oh.
And they just signed Daewon Song.
Yeah, he just showed up like 2 weeks before.
They had just released a skate video called Away Days, so they were like promoting that movie. They
just did do really cool. I liked their skate stuff, actually. It felt classy to me.
I liked a lot of Adidas's like alternative
the,
branding
yeah
stuff.
The pattern
I like
the pattern that they used,
like the Adidas
the
original
pattern
stuff
they used for
the, more of that here.
The skater stuff was cool.
It's very hard to find an Adidas store in
there are none.
The U.S. There's like some in California, but there's none in
the
Pacific
and you know
Northwest,
what?
Which is weird because their HQ is in Portland.
The ones that I've been to in America also are like the first Adidas store I went to, where it's like it's all of their
like sports line,
athletic stuff. Yeah, like I like the original stuff and their SB line, and like it's just not, it's not as like prevalent certainly as like Nike's is here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it was funny because the day one was structured around was a lot of. It was like Harajuku area and was more of like street fashion.
Shibuya Harajuku.
Was that Shibuya too? It was like a lot of street fashion.
Did we go to Ikebukuro? And
that was...
We went everywhere.
In that first on that day, we had to basically drag Gavin and Dave out of stores.
Certain stores.
They were just like, that was their district. And
oh yeah, we went back and I spent a lot of money.
There was cool stuff, but there was a certain point where I think Kiko and I were not like digging on like.
And that's how we felt when we got to the sporting goods district, and Dave and I went to a Starbucks.
we ended up going to
the next day,
Jimbocho, and the Victoria store, and just Brian and I just fucking
was
just
got
lost
like our roles were reversed.
Yeah,
Dave and I were
like Gavin and Dave were rolling their eyes at us. We're kind of looking at another. Track jacket.
We're like, no, look, he's like, there's a different fabric. It's three stripes, but one of them is gold.
And this floor is soccer. Cool. And this floor is baseball. Great. And this floor is swimming. Awesome. And this floor is tennis. Great. Starbucks is right there. I can see it from here.
And
then
the hojicha
right
latte.
Now.
They have the hojicha lattes.
Oh, that's when. So when y'all were in there, we were trying to find. A skate shop, because that area had like a bunch of Burton branding and everything all over. And it turns out that all the skate shops just sell snowboard stuff.
Sucks. It sucks bad.
So that was real shitty.
But also, we learned that to buy like a complete, it's somewhere between $250 and $300.
Yeah.
So like
a
to
complete
skate,
what?
Skateboard. Like a skate deck. Mm-hmm. Like
something
a,
that would
like
cost
a traditional
you
like street deck.
$100 to $120 here is like doubled there.
You guys have
so,
been talking about how like you were surprised at the lack of skater, like people skating around
yeah.
the city because
well,
it seemed like
it's more so in, it wasn't just like in general, but like when we were at the fucking Adidas store and there's a line out the door of kids with their decks waiting to get them signed by the team. No one out there was on a board. No one. Not, and like, it wasn't like it was so crowded. There was like no room. Like no, like anybody could have just been out there like dicking around,
yeah,
trying to
US.
Do like flatland and
youth
stuff. There
yeah.
That would have never not happened.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah, they
I
respect.
I don't think they can, I don't think they have a lot of skateboarders.
I think they're fucking posers. Yeah. To be honest,
I saw a lot of mall grabs.
You just called an entire country
I'm
posers.
Not, I'm not joking.
I saw
I feel
a lot
like,
of mall grabs.
I feel like
a lot of clean
a lot
boards.
Of mall grabs. A lot of boards with zero. Zero wear on them. I think that it's a fashion statement and a fashion accessory.
That's okay.
Yeah.
To a lot
maybe
of people.
Maybe you get your display board signed and then you go home and you go in the properly demarcated area at the proper time so you're not disturbing the neighborhood.
It was weird.
You practice your craft.
Like if you go to a skate shop here on any day, not if there's a whole fucking skate team outside, like if I go to Alive and Well in Cap Hill, there's always one guy outside who's like just runs outside to like dick around for a little. Like there's always somebody somewhere on a board. I just yeah. thought it was odd that you.
That's
like,
what's wrong with America.
That you never saw
you
someone
probably,
like with their feet on a skateboard.
You probably have that same impression at the rock show that I went to.
Oh, I'm sure that I would.
Which is probably a completely different experience.
But imagine this, if they were all facing the wrong direction, because that's what it felt like to Dave and I.
I saw two people on skateboards and they're both white dudes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, I enjoyed my 3-day whirlwind and the juxtaposition of those 2 days.
I enjoyed
really
the
funny.
3-day whirlwind too because the exposure to the different.
Oh yeah,
like,
no,
I had
I
no
learned,
idea.
I learned
about those stores,
I was
and
educated.
I've been there twice, but I normally wouldn't have done that.
Like one of the key learnings was that apparently camouflage is like way. It's like way bigger than I ever thought it was. Like it's over there. It's like. Different
it's big
iterations
here too.
Of camo.
It's big here too.
I'm aware, but I think that I've
had that camo backpack for like 2-3 years.
I applied it to a certain subsection of the car. I didn't realize it had really penetrated.
So you thought it was some hipster shit is what you're saying.
Hipster slash redneck. I was like, well, Gavin was in Florida for a while. So.
Oh, shit.
And also kind of grew up
shade.
In rural Pennsylvania. So,
yeah, so
you know,
like
maybe you do like ducks and hunting for them for all I know.
Fuck
I don't know.
Ducks.
Brian and I got spent our the most time in the Victoria Sports store and we were like sitting on the street outside of the Bape store.
Yeah.
Well, Gavin
just like
and
looking
Dave.
At each other.
Do you know how many times Dave and I went back to a Bape store?
Oh no, I
do you know how
I,
many different
surprised.
Bape stores we went to?
We were outside the Bape store about to go into it and I saw a sign for like a parking lot that was next to it, which was actually for the parking lot and not for Bape. And I was like staring at it like, yo, I think I get it. I think I get Bape finally, and Kiko is like, "That's a parking sign." Like, damn it!
And then we found Ape, which is another brand by yeah. Bathing Ape that we have here, but not like solo shops.
Yeah, you see, it was big, and I went to a couple in Hong Kong, too. Like, that's there's like the Chinese. I think it's their mainland Chinese brand too.
I'm not sure
what it is.
I'm not sure what it is
Japanese
either. I think
brand.
I tried to look it up, but it is like a lower quality.
Lower tier.
Yeah, it's like a
more affordable.
More affordable section.
It's got the same kind of style aesthetic, though.
Mm-hmm. It has very similar style
it's just,
aesthetic. But some of the patterns they don't reuse and stuff.
It was just
like they still have their own Ape camo, just like the Bape
camo.
There
was an entire section of Bape, the Bape store that we were in, that was just like a rack of what looked like old San Francisco sports teams shirts that had the logo ripped off and replaced with a Bape logo.
I know exactly what section you're talking about, and I am not into those at all.
Yeah, there's like, a lot of weird shit.
I was like, what's going on here? Like, this was like a track jacket that Steve Young wore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they put out like 10 products every Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that there's the junk hangs around.
Well, and that was a crossover, too. Yeah, that wasn't a Bape thing. That was a...
Have you ever been,
crossover.
Josh?
Crossover?
No. Nope.
For the Dave not and yet. Gavin portion of the trip, it was just fashion.
Yeah.
Fashion.
All we did was shop and eat.
Yeah.
It was the Gob and Dob Tokyo
Sounds
World one.
Where did you, what was like the highlight of your eating besides that tonkatsu ramen place?
Highlight of the eating.
That sushi place was pretty good.
I definitely know my lowest point of eating.
Fucking.
Honestly, I didn't have a single bad meal there.
No, the food there
is so fucking good.
Dave made a mistake.
Even the convenience store food was incredible.
Dave made mistakes.
Yeah. There was the yakitori spot that we stopped at, which seemed clean and safe, and was. I agree, it was clean and safe. It was very fancy within one of those, like, malls.
Yeah, but then you picked the weird stuff.
But I pointed to something that I thought was beef, and then I pointed to something that I thought was pork. Turns out chicken skin and blood something / organ meat.
I think he had liver. I think it was liver.
It spread instead of chewed.
It was liver. That had to be liver.
And I got two. And that second one was I didn't want to get inside.
I gave him one of my foods.
Yeah, thank you. Like, I think about that texture still and it fucks me up.
Now you know how that trip, that my and first I, trip with Robert was. When it was just a whole meal of that on purpose.
I do great on foods. I don't say no.
Well, we found it. We did go to this awesome sushi spot in Shinjuku where we were staying for the second half of the trip. And that place was great.
It was great.
Did you order a la carte or let them pick for you?
We did.
We did a la carte.
We did make one realization. There's no reason to order salmon anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because we live in Seattle.
Yeah, that's true. It. Like, really, sakai sushi is like
we got salmon and we're like, this is good. It wasn't like it was bad salmon or something. We're like, wow, but like, you just living here and like it just becomes so ubiquitous that you forget how fucking good it is. But I've had salmon sushi since I've been back too. God damn, we're good at salmon.
Yeah.
Don't order salmon sushi if you live in Seattle and go to another country or state. Don't.
I did.
You're going to be disappointed.
I did omakase once.
Eat all their tuna, though. It's fucking awesome.
And it was. Yeah, because you can get like the lean, the medium,
fatty. We got that fatty tuna.
That I did big,
heavy I think
fat.
That it's worth it. Go to a nice place and do the omakase sometime. It's worth it. It's interesting and sometimes challenging because, like, I don't know if I enjoyed eating sea urchin.
Yeah, it's a
but I'm glad one. I did.
Yeah,
it
we
was
just,
actually
we just
better than I thought it
picked
would be.
It up because we knew what we liked. The shrimp was awesome, too.
Yeah, their sweet shrimp was super good.
So fucking good. That tamago, that was huge. The other place that we went to, we had two sushi joints.
Egg.
We stopped at a second sushi joint, which we would have eaten at. We would have had a lot more had we not realized that it was cash only halfway through and then kind of cashed out early. But they served a slice of tamago where the tamago was the rice and then they threw shit on top of it.
There was a trip an earlier
huge,
trip of
though.
Mine
it was like a little brick
to Tokyo where Ryan Hartman was part of it and he decided to educate Robert and I on the meaning of tamago every day, every hour at least. Every time he saw the word tamago anywhere or a picture of an egg, whatever, he'd just go tamago. That means egg.
Tried okonomiyaki for the first time, which was incredible.
Yes. We got on the okonomiyaki train.
That was so good.
We found a secret street fair that showed up out of nowhere.
Did you guys go there?
We never got there.
It had these legit pancakes that were filled with custard. You had them similarly, right?
We had them in...
the thick pancake.
Nakano.
You had the pudding ones?
Mm-hmm.
The custard ones are super good.
Mine had... I had one with chocolate in it. And the best way that I can describe it is it was like snack pack pudding. But I mean that in the best possible way. Like... It wasn't like, oh, it tasted like someone put some jank pudding in my, you know, like, no, it was amazing.
And warm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were right out
she's like just making it right there in front of me, and then here's your thing.
Tried takoyaki for the first time. It was incredible.
Takoyaki's good, too.
Did you get coffee that wasn't Starbucks while you were over there?
Yes, we did.
We found a spot that charged like $8 for Americano, but it was incredible.
So it was it's called The Roastery, and it was,
Harajuku.
It was like, God, probably only a block or two just past the Adidas Originals shop. So, like, where we stopped the first time, if we just kept walking, like, another block, we would have hit it. It's called The Roastery. And the reason that we stopped originally is it literally looks like someone plucked it out of Seattle and just dropped it there. It's got, like, all steel and like, raw wood architecture, like, just the total Pacific Northwest aesthetic that you're used to seeing.
That's sort of, PNW meets
Scandinavian. Like, darkly lit, or dimly lit, I should say, place. It had a slow bar. They had their roasting machine was right there, so they clearly did, like, micro-roasting on site.
You had to choose and smell the beans before
you
purchased.
They only had, like, two choices. They were single origin. They didn't have syrups or anything, so it was like you were choosing based on the actual flavor profile of the bean. It was awesome. It was, like... It was coffee that would have been fantastic to have here in Seattle. And so the fact that we got to have it there was really cool. And it was like a really awesome place to just hang out too. Like we were there for like an hour or so.
I went three times total.
Yeah, we went a couple times.
You're not, you drink, but you're not a Scotch. Dave doesn't drink at all. Kiko doesn't really drink. But Gav, you drink, but you're not a Scotch person, right?
Yeah, I didn't drink the whole time we were there.
Because they do excellent Scotch in Japan now, too, or whiskey.
To make it Suntory time.
Yeah.
The Starbucks there were super cool.
Yeah, we went to two really good ones, I thought. Even when I was there, I don't know if you guys went to. That was going to be one of my next questions, was like, top Starbucks of the trip.
Sky Tree was great.
Sky Tree was great, but like Harajuku, the rooftop one was
awesome.
Yeah,
also that one kills.
The one I spoiled for Dave.
Some of the Starbucks that we went to were super big. And what's weird is they had a special drink at the Harajuku one that we ended up going back for. Mm-hmm. The Vizel really liked
that
the
strawberry one?
The tea cream.
Oh, the tea cream
the
one.
The tea cream frappuccino.
Ooh, what?
Yeah, it was it only at that Harajuku location, the rooftop one.
Interesting.
We ended up going back because Vizel wanted it.
I was like just dead focused on my hojicha lattes when I was there. So those things, you can't get them here and they're really good.
I don't know what that is.
Pro tip, if you want vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla.
Say vanilla. And they'll understand what you want.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is, like, what's... So, as a person who doesn't speak or read any Japanese, mm-hmm. I never had an interest in going to Japan until coming here, like, and working at PA and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, so I was never, like, familiar with that type of culture at all. But you can get by over there without knowing a goddamn thing. Because
you'll be just fine.
And not because, like, they are a very westernized culture or because it's, like, very tourist-friendly. Nothing like that. There's efficiencies built into things that, like, every place that you go to, the menu of the restaurant or the like, you know, if it's Starbucks, the drinks, mm-hmm. is right there at the counter, on the counter. And it's not like just I walk up and I point to it because I don't know what to say. The people in front of me that are Japanese, born and raised, speak fluently, point at what they want. Yeah. Like, everybody does it. And so it's just like this like rhythm of like you walk up, you point at what you want, they make it, you go. And so it was really easy to just do that and get whatever you wanted, except for the word vanilla. And I knew I could get iced latte and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
But we couldn't figure out why vanilla wasn't working. And I was like vanilla. And they'd look at me and they'd go, I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. Yeah. And then Robert came back with intel one time and was like, I think I figured it out. Next time you want vanilla, say vanilla. And we did that, and from then on out, it always
perfect.
Worked.
Every time.
Exactly
it always worked. It was just like, that's, like, and I mean, vanilla and vanilla sound like two very, very different things, so it makes sense, but I thought that was, like, that was our one, like, Starbucks life hack. Vanilla will get you all the syrup you want.
So Dave said he could only go back, like, once every half year, and couldn't live in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Could you live in Tokyo?
No.
Could you live in Tokyo?
That would be... I don't know. I'm not saying no right off the bat. So the cool thing about Tokyo is I lost 8 pounds.
Oh no, for sure.
Yeah, it's because we walked 8 miles a day.
I know, but it didn't feel like it.
Oh, it did.
It didn't feel like it. The first three days, it definitely felt like it.
Yeah.
But the post, like when we did our own pace kind of thing.
Yeah, those days were fine.
Those days were fine.
You mean your gains?
Your gains.
But
my
the,
gains
the
went
thing
to,
is
to
you're
the shitter.
You're not eating great, but you're burning it.
Yeah.
You're burning it as soon as you put it in
your body.
I don't
know. I was eating great.
I don't think you're eating horribly.
I was eating great
even
late.
Nothing is over-sugared at all,
yeah,
too.
If you're eating mostly rice and meat, it's pretty clean.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. I guess it's like the last one.
They don't have a big salad. Like, it's tough to get leafy greens there.
Because why would you just eat salad when you could eat onigiri?
So the previous two
are just seaweed that's wrapped around it.
My previous two trips, the last trip it was in 2005, and there weren't a lot of bakeries. And there's tons of bakeries there now, so we did a lot of that. So that's one
they're
of the
so
reasons why
great.
It's like, yeah. And it's really fucking.
Vizel's always on the hunt for adorable looking food too, right?
Something about Japanese bakeries, something that they do that causes everything to be lighter and fluffier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's the water.
Well, everything.
Oh, they use special flour too.
Everything isn't as sweet. We were talking about this yesterday with Midori, because the reason I like the coffee shop we go here so much is because their pastries are like that.
And Robert said that they don't allow a lot of corn syrup and fruit dyes or dye.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell. Like,
stuff like that.
Everything there tastes mild compared to anything that you would have here. And mm-hmm. like I would always say like I'm a savory person before I'm a sweet person, and part of it is because of how fucking sweet everything in America is. But everything there was like just much more... mild, so like you get to taste everything and not just sugar.
I guess that was the other thing is I don't think we ate a single piece of prepackaged food.
Yeah, you didn't, well, just this because
everything was made that day.
The scale.
Oh, you didn't eat like any like snacks or anything. Like,
no.
Oh, okay.
Everything we ate was either made that day.
I ate some little snacks.
I mean, yeah, the pretz.
That holds true to pretz. Hong Kong too. When I'm in Hong Kong, I tend to walk a ton and I tend to eat a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't eat a lot of packaged food anyway, but far less there. Even it tends to be like Hong Kong has an even bigger restaurant culture, I think, than Tokyo. I think I saw a stat that said there's 60,000 restaurants in Hong Kong, like within the mm-hmm. city limits, which is incredible to think about.
Yeah. No, it's back to could I live there? If I could, I would be in a lot better shape. simply because there's no driving. There's no, like, if you want to get somewhere, you walk to the train station.
Yeah.
And you get on
I
train.
Think it, some of that question comes down to could I find a soccer league to play in?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely could.
Like,
yeah.
That would make me feel, that would be something I could build mm-hmm. my life around. Mm-hmm. Not, and I like, I'd play soccer every day, but having that weekly check-in that normalizes things, that was something that every time I've been abroad traveling or even like living in Scotland for a while, it never felt like home because I didn't have a team that I was on. I
feel like home.
Dave, do you want to share what just happened with the rest of the class? Why that was special?
Brian just said felt like home, and that's very important to Gavin and I.
We have a song.
We had a song. It's the elevator song for our hotel, which was on. It was like 20 minutes repeat cycle of this weird Japanese rap and piano tunes. But they had this one song, and you know the artist, right? Because you looked it up on YouTube.
I did. I can't remember. Pace Rock is
Pace
the rapper
Rock
that's featured
so,
on
it's
it.
It's so goddamn bad,
and
guys.
He's so
it's
horrible.
It's clearly an English speaker.
Pace Rock.
English speaker that can trash. Rap this, but like some of the cheesiest lines I've ever heard.
The
in
pianist
my life.
On the track was great, and apparently it's his song featuring.
Yeah.
The unfortunate Pace Rock.
Yeah. All you guys need to know is you feel like home.
Yeah.
To me.
The lyrics were just that we kept hearing were, and there's like all this piano in the background, so it seems like it's supposed to be like this, like, yeah, like this is a real heartfelt, like it's a rap song, but we're gonna bring it down to you. And it's like, why do I love you? You feel like, or no, why do you love me? You feel like home. And then just like the most juvenile rhymes that you've ever heard. Like the way that I found it to send it to Dave later was by Googling feel like home and then pretty bird, busy bee. Just amazing metaphors.
Yeah.
Amazing metaphors. Those were two of the other lyrics. And with those few key words, I was able to find it so that now we can listen to it whenever we need.
Yeah.
Well, that's very perceptive. Bees do look very busy.
Right?
Yeah. And birds are pretty, pretty. Right?
Yeah.
Birds are pretty.
They're
they have
pretty,
feathers,
pretty.
They have colors.
The song
those
later.
Those are good lines. What do you.
The song later encouraged that we fall in love and then break up and have kids and then get back together or some shit.
Yeah. Like, it was the worst love song ever. It was like. Yeah, like it basically made it sound like how great would it be if we just like, you know, fall in love and we're getting married and we'll have kids and then we'll start fighting and then we'll get divorced and then we'll fall in love all over again. And I'm like, that's not a love song. That's not how you pitch it. Why would you do that?
Did you guys get used to watching each other use the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Lots
no, for sure.
Noises.
Oh, we had a really great moment. So our...
you guys are in a very modern hotel.
So if you've ever stayed at the Standard...
Yeah, I was
in
say,
LA.
I saw your picture.
It's like the Standard in LA. But basically, we stayed in a very cute hotel room. It had like it was like two beds for two normal sized humans, but they're pushed together, which was great.
Yeah,
we didn't have to do it. They're already done.
Yeah.
And then the shower was like a big glass box, but it was frosted glass, so you couldn't like see what was going on unless you pressed yourself against the glass, which I did to make sure.
Yeah.
But basically, you always had like just the like suggestion silhouette of a person showering, and Dave would Dave close the shower curtain when he was like going to the bathroom. Was like, don't look at me. I was taking a shower the one day, and Dave was trying to reach something on his side of the bed, on the floor, and his side of the bed is against the wall of the shower, and he put his hand on the wall to help himself reach down, and I was in the shower, and I put my hand on his hand from the opposite side of the glass.
And I was like, ah.
It was really special. We really had something.
I actually appreciated our hotel room as well, because it was sort of, I imagine, the same thing. There wasn't really anywhere for you to relax other than the bed.
Yeah.
Oh, we had chairs. We had two little chairs and a table.
We didn't have enough room for a chair.
And then a Spider-Man to look at in the distance.
Spider-Man is great.
we our hotel was the one with the giant Godzilla on it. So
yeah,
yeah, you had Godzilla. We just had Spider-Man.
But our hotel room was, you know, pretty big bathroom, which was cool, and just pretty much an area for the bed. Not really anywhere to lounge, which I actually appreciated because that means we didn't spend much time
there.
Yeah,
it makes you leave.
It makes you go out and experience the city rather than, you know, kicking back in your hotel room.
Unless it's after 8:30 p.m. and you're really tired.
Yeah.
Right. I also discovered that I have an absolute caffeine addiction.
Yeah.
Wait, how did you only just discover that?
You got the Keening headache?
I'm always drinking caffeine.
It wasn't, that. It was the fact that I didn't want to...
Starbucks every day?
Eventually, I figured out I needed to.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know if you noticed. Did you try to talk to Kiko before he had caffeine that one time on the train?
Especially...
That was a hard...
Especially combine that with the burning, the constant burning of calories.
Oh, yeah.
And that just accentuated the fact that I didn't have caffeine.
Let's talk about something that I know everyone wants to secretly talk about.
Pampering your ass on those toilets?
Yep. My butthole has not been as clean since I was born.
Yeah,
was
you know what's coming today from Amazon?
What?
A Toto washlet.
Where? To your house?
Wait, you bought a whole new toilet?
The last one that we had has been broken for like years. It's only a seat warmer.
I'm exclusively pooping at Kiko's house.
So, I'm holding it in.
Can we go in for the office, please?
No, magical.
They wouldn't
it's magical.
Does this
what's
one
happening
sing?
In your butt area?
Oh yeah.
I still don't get it. How does that one? So do you wipe first and then
no.
squirt, or do you squirt then wipe, or do you
squirt?
No wipe?
You squirt, dry.
You pat dry and then you air dry the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that get everything?
Oh, it gets everything.
I do a follow up.
Yeah, you can follow
up. How does
that
get everything? My
colon
is spraying you.
Yeah,
it's an aggressive spray.
Maybe my butt's different than yours, but there's just
it goes inside you.
There's a
you're sitting. Yeah. Your crags are open. There's nothing left. It's just open space to spray water in. I mean, it's not
my entire poop chute was clean.
Yeah, you're clean from the inside out.
Slip and slide in there.
I don't feel good about this. I don't feel right.
Did you not have a toilet?
I didn't feel
right
the first two times. No. But I started to accept it by the third.
Mm-hmm. I wipe till I'm raw. I have calluses.
You need to figure out your dietary situation.
Yeah.
Because that's not appropriate. That's not how things are supposed to be.
This is a you problem.
You don't poop three times a day?
Oh, Dave and I had a...
On Mondays only, though.
Had a fun discovery. So when you're there in like Shibuya and stuff...
Shibuya.
Or even Akihabara, I guess. You'll end up going to all of these stores that like... It's just countless floors of unorganized action figures in glass cases. And
Those are... It's The way to for older people, it is a nerd antique mall.
Yes.
It's people reselling their stuff.
That's a great way to put it.
And they have tiny little glass cabinets that they lease.
Now the problem,
and they fill these glass cabinets to fill as much space as possible.
Mm-hmm. The problem with Japan for me in all of this is the disorganization of a few things, and the disorganization of these floors and stores, horrible.
It's a shit show. But so you go to one of these stores and you've seen them all. Like they're all.
But you
the
need
same
to go through
idea.
Them all because they are going to have slightly different prices and they'll all have different.
And what
figures.
If one of them actually has psychopath stuff?
Right? So we.
Special Agent K.
We start seeing all of these. These like sports boys. And we're like, what are these sports boys? There's like
sports
these
sports boys.
There's
well,
like
there's magical there's girls.
The were
like,
they the volleyball team?
There's always
the
magical girl toys, right? Like that's like magical girl anime.
The genre,
right? Well, there's apparently also... there's like magical sports boys, except they're not magical. They're just sports. So
yes, sports is the genre.
So we start seeing these sports boys, and they're swimmers, or they play tennis, or like
volleyball,
basketball.
And so we're like,
you might have missed that in the Victoria. There was like a whole rack of just stuff from that volleyball anime.
Oh no, we did not see that.
Yeah.
We
actual like jerseys.
Uniforms from that team, and then like t-shirts of the players.
It's
and stuff.
Pretty goddamn
amazing.
Rad.
Well, so Dave and I just take this with us. We're like, okay, what are these sports boys? And then we're watching television,
which is a fuck fest,
which we love to do. We watch it every night. And
well, if you had a lounge space, you too could have done this.
No, I watched every night, sitting on the bed.
I didn't bed watch it. So we found the channel that was playing anime, and they're playing these basket boys. And we're like, oh shit, Dave, it's that anime, as if there's only one.
Yeah.
It's that anime, the one with the sports. And so we're like, all right, now we need to know about these basket boys. So again, it's in Japanese. There's no subtitles. So we have no idea what's happening. We're barely grasping it. And I'm immediately on Wikipedia. So I'm like, all right, we're in. We watch one episode of this show, and now I'm reading the whole wiki. And
well, what's funny is Dave framed it as like, you know, you're sort of making fun of it at the start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you started, and then you started actually liking it.
Like, ha ha, what's this? Whoops. Let's link it to the wiki. And oh, this
then,
seems
And then
cool.
the next day.
So it's called Kuroko.
The standard hipster arc.
So it's it's the character's name is Kuroko. It's this little blue-haired basket boy. And he's not even the best. It's not like you're watching the Michael Jordan anime.
Right, no.
He is like, he's good at passing. He's like
he's
really great.
He's a sharer.
Yeah. Like he's a good, he's a
very
good
polite
team
yeah,
player.
Nice.
And he's like, so fucking A. So it's called Kuroko no Basket, I think in the States, but in Japan, it's called The Basketball Which Kuroko Plays.
So good.
Which I can only imagine occurred if it was named in Japanese, translated to Kuroko no Basket in English, and then translated back from that to Japanese again as Kuroko, as like Kuroko no Basket to The Basketball Which Kuroko Plays.
That was a motif that followed the rest of the trip. Was
yeah.
The pastry of which Gavin eats.
Yeah, we had to phrase a lot of things yeah. that in that manner. So we find out about Kuroko, and I immediately look up the wiki, and we read all about him and his good friend Taiga, and then I immediately look up Yaoi, which is just gay anime. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty. And Kuroko was totally a bottom.
Kuroko's super
totally
poster
a bottom.
Boy of
yeah.
That
oh,
whole
that's the best
genre.
Part. If you just look up Yaoi, just you get Kuroko. Like page one results. You don't have to specify. So look that, so just to let you know, like the like Kuroko is up there.
So how many
people like
how many,
these boys?
How many Kuroko figures did you buy?
I bought 3.
I don't know what you're talking about, guys. It's
the
totally
normal. Rest of the trip,
totally
after
normal.
Watching one episode, reading the wiki, and looking at gay porn, was trying to find Kuroko action figures.
And it was
I found
pretty easy,
one.
I bet.
Actually, it was not.
Okay.
It was not, because I didn't want to pay like $30, $40.
Okay. There was no organization.
Yeah, well, there was no organization. So I finally found one that I was happy with, and we found blind box Kuroko figures at the Kotobuya store. The emerald green name, Kotobuya,
yeah.
I think it was. They had little blind boxes there, but they were the only ones they had in the whole store, and I thought for sure that would be the spot to get them. Mm-hmm. So we did get 2 little blind boxes, and I got Taiga and character I don't know. And
purple hair, we'll figure him out later.
Pink hair, sad face,
yeah.
Side eye.
Yeah, that's his name right now.
Yeah, pink hair, sad side eye. And then I bought a really nice Kuroko, like chibi. He's like a 4-inch, 5-inch figure. So yeah. All you need to watch is one episode, and you too can buy toys of an anime you don't understand.
No, what was really
interesting? I feel
like
that's what I do when I do the UFO machines, is that I'm constantly trying to win something that I have no idea what I'm trying to. Like, I won an Evangelion character, and
you
then,
got a Ray.
Yeah, and
a
then,
Ray from a crane game.
Yeah, I won it in a crane game.
That you probably spent like $50 on.
No, it was like 22. All right. but that it's the first time I ever finished one of like got something from one of that type, mm-hmm. so that was cool. But yeah, Kigo and Vizel had to explain to me who this character was, and it broke down to that she is a 14-year-old clone.
Did you get arrested at the
who's
yeah,
who is actually the love interest / mother
sort
of the main character, but because she didn't know that was the mother because she's a clone, so is she really the mother? It really raises a lot of important social questions here and the things that you want to ask before we start getting into all this GMO shit, you know what I'm saying?
I like where you went with that.
At any rate, what was super weird is anime was on at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is in
like,
America too, dude.
Yeah.
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
As if it's on at 1 in the
no,
afternoon.
No, but like stuff that's getting simulcast here through like Crunchyroll and stuff, mm-hmm. that stuff's being played at like 1 a.m. in Japan. And I guess that's a normal thing. I don't know.
I would assume so.
You're saying like a new episode stuff debuts at 1 in the morning? Like that's when it's just on?
I assume.
Or I guess that's the replay.
Mm. I don't know how it works there. It just seems weird that the stuff's rolling at
Japan television invented react videos.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's their talk shows have been like that forever.
100%. Yeah, where you watch a show, but while you're watching it, there's a picture in picture of somebody else watching
the
it.
The guest.
Oh, yeah.
Not always. as we had learned.
Just rando sometimes.
Which is great because then those two brothers tried to like patent it in America.
Oh, yeah.
And like sue people who were doing react videos. It's like, dude,
Come on.
There's a whole fucking
then
country
we saw,
that already did this.
We would see the same people on various different channels, too.
Yeah, they're celebrities.
Like they're little,
it's like
little personalities.
It's,
Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
He's in everything. And
well,
on,
but
on
he's only
things.
On E.
No. He's on Fox. He's on, he does ABC stuff.
I guess that's
he's
true.
Just a.
They have a lot of Ryan Seacrest.
He's just a handsome
Gun
dude.
For Hire.
He's a handsome guy.
The same thing happens there. Yeah.
People you know what questions. I think my favorite fucking Tokyo memory might have been? Was taking photos in that sex shop of that stupid, stupid floor sign.
That was a, where were we at?
We were in Harajuku. No. Oh. Is it Shibuya?
No, it was the part that Kiko hangs out at because he loves anime. I can't remember the name.
Oh, it was Akihabara?
Akihabara.
Oh, okay. So early on in the trip, I remember we had had a conversation. I was like, hey, if we find a cool sex shop, can we go in? And you were like, yeah. And so we're in Akihabara, and we walk by somewhere, and I see like an ad for Hitachi Magic
glowing
Wand.
Hitachi sign.
And I go like, oh, ha, ha. It's just a massager, right? And then realize like, oh no, they know it is a sex shop. and I was like, Dave, it's a sex shop. Can we go? And he's like, yeah, all right. So I immediately like rush in. Dave's like, I need a minute.
Yeah, I needed to prepare.
So everywhere you go in Japan is like 5 stories, like very narrow buildings, but everything's very tall.
And densely packed.
So I go in and like the floor you walk in on is like just a bunch of like costume type stuff. Mm-hmm. Like sexy, like anime costumes.
Yep.
And then the first, like, or the basement floor, like the lower floor says BDSM. And I would describe that as every normal American. Well, I shouldn't say every. I guess, like, we have cool strip shops here, like Shebop in Portland and.
Nothing too out there is what you're
saying. Babeland. Yeah. And it's like this kind of like mix of sex shop stuff you'd suggest. And then the next floor up is like mostly like dildos and stuff like that. And then the third and fourth floors are. Like the stairs that you're on have these huge mats printed out on them that say third and fourth floor, female keep off, only the man.
On outside, you didn't see it says like 1, 2, and then it shows like male and female, and 3 and 4 was only male.
Yeah, and it also says, female is forbidden. And so I'm like, this is some bullshit. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, here we go. And it's just 2 floors of stuff to stick your dick in. It's not anything that's like, oh, what, it's like such a secret. And it's just so weird culturally how like they are like how it's like shame based or something. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't get it. I didn't get why like men were allowed to see all the stuff that products that were for like that they deemed for women, but that like women wouldn't be allowed to see the products that they had deemed for men. And it was silly.
I saw some shit that was close to a real doll and I got freaked out. So
there's definitely a lot of that.
Boys only. It's a boys club.
Only the man.
Only the man.
The female is forbidden.
Yeah, I had that sign on my treehouse.
Yeah.
And that was just because I didn't want anybody else to eat my fruit roll-ups.
I told Dave that someone's probably going to stop them and to take a photo with him.
That happened.
That's right.
The dream happened.
But you blew it.
We did blow it.
But we fucked up. We were too excited. We were in Tokyo Disney and like 8 school girls.
They were probably like 9th grade, I'd say.
Yeah.
But like all wearing their uniforms.
Asked to take a photo with me and Gav.
Yeah.
And we did. And P signed up. It was so great. And then they dispersed and giggled and were so happy, but we didn't give them...
And we were like, oh, wait, we should have taken a photo too. God damn it.
Yeah. Listener / Club PA member Stan Pickman went out to Japan during the same time, but he went to outside of Japan.
Yeah.
And he is like as tall as me.
Tokyo?
Outside of Tokyo, sorry.
Okay.
And he's like every day, multiple stops.
Yeah.
So I think that because we're in Tokyo Disney, that's spot where many people from outside
if you go to like Kyoto or
and there weren't a lot of Americans in Tokyo Disney either.
No.
Like it wasn't like that was like a more broader tourist attraction or something.
Yeah.
It was cute too because it was like totally that little kid thing where like not little kid, but like that kid thing where they sent like their leader.
Yeah.
Like they sent like one girl over and they all hung back. And she was like, you know, will you take a picture with us? And then we said, yeah. And she turned around and was like, yeah, you know, they're into it. And then they all squealed and ran over. Like they all got like super excited. And like Dave and I are over here like, ah! We're like just as excited.
It was great.
That was delightful.
So any recommendations for people who have never been before who might consider going?
One. Go.
Don't wear a big backpack.
The Suica card's a big deal.
Yeah, Suica will get you by.
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla will get you by.
You can eat every meal at 7-Eleven. If you want.
If you want to eat just at convenience stores.
If you are a gym bro and you want to lift, you're not gonna. It's fine. You'll be fine. Your gains will go out the window.
Bring a plastic bag with you because you're going to be carrying your trash everywhere.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And toilet paper.
There's not a lot of trash.
Just in case. Mm.
That has never happened. Ever once happened.
It's happened to me once.
I think if you go to Tokyo, if you stay in Tokyo, you're probably safe.
But no, I was in... So last time I went, I went to a bunch of like shrines and stuff. And I was on Mount Takao. And I was on the top of this mountain. And I took the most amazing poop. in a bamboo
on the
bathroom stall on a mountaintop on a fucking Toto washlet.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been anywhere in even like the greater Tokyo area when I was there where there was not toilet paper. If I can be on a mountain and have an authentic hotel experience with my behind, I don't know why I would carry
at
toilet
any
paper.
Rate, if you do somehow find a bathroom that doesn't have toilet paper, you can find one that does pretty easily.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've gone, I walked into a bathroom and was like,
so
"Oh, this is
this
only
point,
troughs."
Your
We're
rear
done.
Is in the clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Shinjuku is a great place to stay.
Yeah.
Every train line / subway line, almost every line crosses through that station. So
dude, we didn't mention Robot Restaurant. Do we want to talk about it, or is that kind of?
I don't
of
think
a,
that's not
blocked
a,
it out.
That's a
no.
People can
People can ask me in person about that, and they can see the look on my face.
Just
that's probably more.
Yeah,
make sure to
it's like kind of
let
a
me know ahead of time
there.
That we're going to talk about it, so I can mentally and emotionally prepare.
That the Harajuku Starbucks is worth checking out.
We really could have died
if you want a little like sort of like a weird crossover of like a little taste of home, but also like.
Cool rooftop.
It's really nice. Yeah, you can see a nice Starbucks in another space.
Go to some parks. There's a lot of really awesome parks. We only went to like one thing when we were there, but there's some really really cool parks. And if you're a person that has never done any like research into the culture or anything, and you've just played video games, my first time there, I went to a park and realized that their parks have like archery ranges, and then Zelda made sense, like. And it just seemed like a video game thing that like, oh yeah, and then like Link goes to the archery range and like learns how to shoot his bow and arrow. And it's like, no, there's actually just like archery ranges in a park in the middle of a city in Tokyo. And so that was like really cool to see, but also like gave me a lot more understanding of like the cultural influence in the games that I play. But yeah, go to some parks. They're awesome. They're just gorgeous. You pay to get in and it's like only a couple dollars, but it's totally worth it.
And then because we're talking to gamers, you gotta go to an arcade there and do some.
There's arcades everywhere.
The vast selection of different UFO, like claw machine games. I think that's that's my favorite part.
And now that Konami's not making games, they make pachinko machines. So you can get that new Metal Gear pachinko.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the only way you'd be able to continue Solid Snake's story.
Also, smoking is real.
Ugh.
Yep. They still do that really hard there.
Everywhere.
In restaurants.
There's still a pre-vape.
Oh yeah,
we saw a few vape shops. We did.
It's a prepubescent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go back in a few years and you'll see some.
It's you see that Top Vape is moved.
They moved.
Yeah, you guys. And
Kiko came into the office yesterday and goes, "Did you see Top Vape close?" And I said, "No, they moved." And he said, "Of course you would know that."
But that's not about Tokyo. Sorry. I just thought that was important.
Oh, meal I forgot about was the cold soba noodle place that we had with the singing. Waitress /
that place
cook.
Is crazy good.
That place is good.
Yeah. And we sat on the ground and
my legs went to sleep. It was not meant for me either.
I could not
fit under the table.
I had a hard time.
Best if you are in smaller groups.
Yeah.
If you want to hang out and eat at the same time.
Yeah.
Think of it like trying to do anything together at PAX. Like when you leave the show and you're like, let's go out to dinner. And then your group of three becomes nine. Just leave.
But you know,
that's when you bail.
The sidewalks and PAX. It's like that all the time, except no one has a right or left adherence. You know, you stick on the left side of the road
there was
or
no,
the right.
You
just mash into each other.
There was no order there. Like
and
if you go to
the most frustrating part.
If you go to Melvin, you learn pretty quickly that everything's reversed, right?
Yeah,
like if you're walking down the street, you walk on the opposite side, you would walk on here. In Tokyo, you would think that as well because they also drive on the opposite side.
On the escalator, it's clear.
On the escalator,
on every
escalator, they have it down.
That is the only
time. Then it's a fuck fest free for all.
Anyone seems to know what to do.
As soon as you get off that escalator,
yeah, then it's
because the
like,
stairs might suggest like arrows this way. No,
yeah, no, it's all it's every man for himself.
Like Gretzky checked people.
Tokyo's great.
I don't want to wait 6 months before I go back.
I want to go back tomorrow.
Unlike Zabe, like I still think about months. It. I still think about it. Like
yeah, I can't
say,
wait to go to
put that weight back on. So
I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, yeah. That's Tokyo's just going to be my fitness plan.
You're pre Hawaii. You want to get your bikini body, so you could hit up Tokyo.
Although the week we left, Bape had a rainbow drop that I think Gav was salty about. I'd be mad too.
I did get a Bape drop when I was there. Yeah, I was glad to get a drop piece.
Truth.
I was a little salty.
The Bape stores are waiting for you, Dave. They're not going anywhere.
I'm never going to go back there. I will.
Hey.
I will.
When we go to Melbourne, we'll get to go to Culture Kings and everything will be great.
We'll do fine.
All right. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to discuss, please email podcast@penny-rk.com.
Bye.
Go to Tokyo.
Goodbye.